Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 1 to chapter 40, verse 6. When it's come at last, the fall of Jerusalem. The pot has been boiling now for a long time throughout this prophecy and before. And at last, it has come to the place where Jerusalem is taken. Jerusalem falls. There's no melodrama here. There's no overemphasis upon the gory details. It's the simple plainness of the fact, which is so, what's the word, shocking, hurtful, painful. Jerusalem, the place where the temple was, where the Holy of Holies was. Jerusalem, Judah, the people who had the law of God, the covenant of God, the priests, the prophets, the sacrifices, the temple, the tradition, the history, the fathers, the patriarchs, and so on and so on. Jerusalem, of all places, falls to the Babylonians. The facts are simple. Zedekiah, as we saw in previous discourses, tampers with God, plays around. He talks about God, he wants prayer, he wants to know God's word, but he won't do it. Well, eventually, the Babylonians come back. They besiege the city for several months. Zedekiah and the army hold out the best they can, but eventually it collapses. The wall is broken down, and the place falls to the army of Babylon. And the officials of the king of Babylon come and take their seats within Jerusalem and destroy the place. The end of Zedekiah is dreadful. He tries to escape, he gets through the wall, he gets out, he leaves the city, but he's caught. And the last thing he sees is the slaughter of his two sons. Before he has blinded himself, his eyes are gouged out, he's put in bronze shackles and carted off to Babylon. The whole place is destroyed by fire and ruin. Babylon leaves a few of the poor people to look after the vineyards and the fields. The temple worship, the priests and the prophets, the praise of God and all the rest of it lies in ruins. Jeremiah is found, he's delivered from the prison, his bondage is taken away, he's been confined and his chains are removed, and he is granted the freedom to go where he will. He chooses to stay behind with the poor in the land. Ebed-Melech is also remembered for his care and concern and help for Jeremiah. God takes care of this. It says expressly, the Lord told Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah this, and he passed on the message to Ebed-Melech, and so it happened. We have Zedekiah and his crew, and we have Jeremiah. And the fall is dreadful. If you want a commentary on this, you may find it in a contemporary prophet with Jeremiah, the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 4, to chapter 2, verse 3, and chapter 3. Zephaniah 1, 4 to 2, 3, and chapter 3. What can we say of this? Well, as you know, I've called this discourse, God is not mocked. What do I mean by that? When God says a thing, my friend, he means it. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He had told Jerusalem again and again and again that if they would return to him and stop prostituting his covenant and stop degrading his worship and get rid of the pagan ideas in their worship and their system and stop listening to the false prophets, he would bless them indeed. But if they would not repent, if they would not return and reform, they would fall and perish. What did Jerusalem and Judah do about it? They went on in their merry way. And God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And God also looked after his own, his remnant, his elect. At least we know of Jeremiah and this man Ebed-Melech. There will be others, but very few. But God knows how to care for his own. Of course, Jeremiah and Ebed-Melech have to suffer in the fall. They're not immune from that. But nevertheless, God knows them that are his. What can we learn from this? I'm not going to be melodramatic, I said. But unbeliever, I warn you, God could not be more generous than he has been with you. This may be the first time you've ever heard any man speaking on the gospel. It may be that you've heard it 1,000 times before. But I tell you now, the New Testament shows me clearly, the Bible shows me clearly, throughout Scripture, but it could not be clearer than in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, God in Christ, offers you mercy and forgiveness of all your sins. He will wash every sin away in the blood of Christ, and he will give you the righteousness of Christ and give you peace with God. Otherwise you will perish, for we are all sinners, my friend. You are a sinner, I am. And we're under the condemnation and wrath of God because of our sin. We were born like it. We're in Adam. We're dead and ruined in our sins in the fall of Adam. And we've added to it in our own sins. But God stands ready to forgive us in Christ. But if we refuse Christ, if we will not have Christ, if we are determined to tamper with the gospel and twist it and warp it in some way and not come to Christ, we shall perish. Learn from the fall of Jerusalem, my friend. I plead with you. Repent, believe, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that means you. But if you will not believe, if you refuse, then remember it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, if you will not come to Christ, you will perish. Whatever we sow, we shall reap. But of course, the main lesson is to the professing churches of Christ, professing believers. I do not believe myself. I am convinced myself. There could not be a more relevant passage in Scripture than the prophet Jeremiah. Indeed, the minor prophets altogether, all the prophets. I believe we're living in very similar times, at least in the West, in Christendom and in the churches of the West. I am convinced of it. We've brought in pagan ideas. Indeed, we're increasing every hour of the day, bringing in more and more from the world. And God is appealing to us, I believe, through such men as Jeremiah. Don't tamper with my covenant. Don't prostitute my covenant. Don't bring in the world. Get rid of the paganism. All these pagan ideas, this hedonism, this carnality, this pleasure seeking in my name, this adulterating the gospel with this mixing with the world. It's got to stop. Otherwise, let us remember, God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we shall reap. Remember Zedekiah. And I speak to all who would be faithful. I would be a Jeremiah. I don't know about how you feel, my friend. I would be an Ebed-Melech. I would be in that camp. I would not be with Zedekiah. I don't know how you feel. That's my reaction to this chapter. God, make me a Jeremiah, not a Zedekiah. I don't want to be in their camp. It may be. It will be. If disaster comes, even the remnant will have to feel the pain of it. But God cares for his own. I appeal to the believers. I appeal to all believers who are listening to me. Listen to Jeremiah 39 and 40. Whatever we do, may we learn from Zedekiah. He's just the latest in a long line. Like Jeremiah is the latest in a long line. There have been many prophets who've been predicting and warning and pleading with the people over this. But it's Jeremiah's lot to live through it, and it may be ours. But Zedekiah too is the last of a long line. It all gathers together in this event here. Jerusalem falls. God deliver us from the place where men will write in years to come, in the 21st century, the churches in the West fell into darkness because of their adulteration of the new covenant with paganism. Let us learn. Let us learn while there is still time. And may the Lord have mercy upon us. God, make us not to be with Zedekiah and his crew, but to be with the faithful, the trusting, the obedient men, like Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Ebed-Melech, and the rest. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, whatever a church sows, whatever churches sow, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap.